Need your poke fix? Well, I went looking for fresh ahi poke at three places last month and was surprised no one had any. What's up with that? Our reality check with Honolulu Civil Beats' Nathan Eagle could give us an answer. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, I went to a place right across from your Kaimuki offices, and I was told that not only did they not have fresh ahi, they hadn't had it all week, and they probably wouldn't have it till Wednesday. So I was really kind of surprised about that.
I know. How do we survive without our fresh poke?
Yes. So I went without.
And I've become so good. That's been my move of late, too. I've gotten too used to having really good, really fresh ahi poke, and that if it's not fresh, I don't want it.
Yeah. So you have an article about climate change.
Yeah, absolutely. Not the best news on the ahi front, particularly big eye tuna. The scientists are telling me that they're going to be smaller, less abundant, and farther away, which could mean be more expensive for our fishermen to travel to find them, and they may come back with less, which at the end of the day could mean pricier ahi poke bowls and sashimi plates for us.
Yeah, or you just go without like I did.
Or you just go without.
Yeah, you have to wait till the ship comes in, really. That's what it is that they don't come in until they've got their catch.
Absolutely. And yeah, and with the ocean heating up, you know, that's changing where they're at in the ocean and basically where their prey is at. And so they're going farther towards the poles and away from the tropics and also farther east.
Right. So if they have to go farther, it's going to take a while before they come in with that fresh fish.
It really is.
So what else are you looking at in regard to this climate change and how our fishermen find their catch?
Well, there was one thing that was interesting in one of the lead scientists I talked to on a relatively recent study, I think it just came out this summer, Phoebe Woodworth Jeffcoats. She found in her modeling that just with about 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit global warming, which isn't too much, the catch will fall about 25%, and so will the overall biomass. But what is really fascinating is that if the fishermen would gradually fish less, about half as hard over time, the same loss in catch will be about the same, but the biomass will actually skyrocket about 44%, which is good for the whole marine ecosystem and, of course, all the tunas for us.
Yeah, but, you know, you're right about the warming. I mean, I went swimming yesterday, and the water was icky hot. And, you know, another swimmer and I just lamented, like, ew, you know, is this going to be the norm from now on, or at least maybe through the next month or so?
I mean, all signs indicate that, yes, the ocean is just going to continue to heat up, which, of course, is not only just making it feel less refreshing than maybe it was. Maybe it'll get cooler towards the winter, but then gradually still warmer over time. But then that's also creating less healthy corals, you know, bleaching and stuff, and signs like that are already coming out. The summer's not looking like it's going to be a good one for corals. And then when you, of course, play that up the ecosystem and talk about all the fish that those corals support and then that the tuna eat, more bad news on that front.
Yeah, I mean, I can get out of the water when I'm too hot, but the fish, that's where they live.
Exactly, yeah. So the tunas are bigger. They can dive deeper and deeper in search of all their food. But others, you know, they have very limited areas where they can be and they can thrive.
And you also looked at not just, you know, around Hawaii, but throughout the Pacific, right? You looked at the Northern Marianas and what they were seeing out there.
Yeah, I did a little bit. And it's a similar story. They're just the migration patterns are sometimes a little different.
And so what are fishermen to do? How do we deal with this?
Well, one of the solutions coming from one of the guys I interviewed, Dave Gershman, over at the Ocean Foundation, he says that the focus needs to be on better international agreements to develop long-term harvest strategies. So the commission that would handle all that has already indicated that they want to do that, but we're still in the process of them actually hammering that out. Their next big meeting is in December, so we'll be watching that. But basically, it's to take a less reactive approach and try to be a lot more proactive instead of what they're doing now, which is basically negotiating every year how much tuna can be caught the next year.
And you folks are focusing a lot of your effort on climate change. You're going to be doing more of this reporting.
Yeah, absolutely. We're part of the Covering Climate Now initiative. That's 200-some media organizations around the globe, primarily in the U.S., They're reaching an audience of about 1 billion people. So the goal is this really intense week of climate coverage. And so for us, we kicked it off this week, but there will be more stories the rest of the week. We're going to launch another podcast and just kind of really stay on top of this issue as best we can.
And on your website, you've got a kind of a questionnaire for your readers to kind of take part in.
Yeah, my colleague Claire will be working on a podcast where she wants to hear from readers, what are your questions, and then she'll research answers and put together a podcast that hopefully addresses them.
Okay, and I know we just did a mention on the Ocean Observation Conference that's going on across the street. Are you going to head over there later
this day? It wouldn't surprise me if I'm there.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate you staying on top of this, and then we'll just see where it goes, and we'll look forward to the next climate change feature on the website.
Sounds great. Thanks.
All right. Thanks so much. That was reporter Nathan Eagle with today's reality check. To read his story on this issue, visit civilbeat.org.